May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Last week, time precluded me from reminding us that Jesus is dealing with a pretty unruly crowd there in the beginning of chapter 12 in St. Luke's Gospel, where our Gospel passage is from this morning. People were literally trampling over each other and clamoring for whatever food or blessing that Jesus could give them. And last week we even discovered that there was a guy who was just bellowing out a demand for Jesus to intervene in a family dispute. And I think this is important because many of us have this picture of a placid Savior hovering through a crowd of serene people as he teaches and does good works. Jesus did street music, street ministry, maybe some music ministry, I don't know. But he did that side by side with mockers and drifters and crooks and regular folk aplenty. Thus, it's helpful, I think, to remember that Jesus didn't exactly propound his thoughts in the rarefied air of academia. He brought his message to the people right where they were. Where our lesson picks up today, Jesus reminds the rowdy crowd that is surrounding him that God really wants to bless them. In fact, I had preached on this not long ago, "Do not be afraid, little flock," on that particular verse as my last sermon back in Pennsylvania. So if you wanted to go on my blog back in time and listen to that message, please be my guest. But Luke implants this fear not message squarely alongside his other admonition to seek treasure in heaven. But today, I want to focus a little bit after that, where Jesus says immediately after that point about keeping our lamps lit, about being ready. And he uses a parable to get that point across. And here's the setup that Jesus gives us. Here is a master, and he was away at a wedding banquet, and his slaves were waiting for him to come back. Now, wedding banquets back then were pretty unpredictable. They lasted as long as they lasted. It wasn't like today, where you have a ceremony at 5 with some pictures right after, and then maybe dinner by 8, and then a little dancing, and then come midnight, the couple's on their way off to their heading off to their honeymoon. No, back then, they could be days long, even weeks. Basically, as long as there was wine and food, the party was going strong. Kind of reminds me of when the comedy team Key and Peele did a sketch that spoofed a club where they literally were at a party that didn't stop, just like the song kept playing over and over and over and over. The point is, the slaves in this parable had absolutely no idea when their master would be back and resume business as usual. Now that's a funny thought, huh? Business as usual. Keep a mental finger on that phrase because we'll come back to that. Business as usual. In the meantime, Jesus turns the tables on the expectations of his restless audience. Instead of the slaves serving the master winds up girding himself up and begins to serve them. Not the kind of thing that you would expect a master to do. Slaves are the ones who were supposed to be roaring ready to go to serve, but instead, now, they're blessed with something unexpected. They are being served instead of serving. And I think that's an important reminder, since most of us pretty easily make that connection between the master with God and the slaves with God's people. We are reminded of our Lord's lavish grace, the kind of grace that flips our expectations upside down. Grace from God, not sweat equity from us. It's all pure gift, nothing that is earned. God Himself comes to serve us, even as we think that we are waiting to serve Him. But then Jesus throws in another twist. A thief shows up. Oh no, dun dun dun. So we aren't just staying alert for the Lord to come. We're staying alert to keep anyone from stealing the good things that have already been entrusted to us. The thief, is he the devil? Is he sin? Is he death itself? Could be all three. We definitely shouldn't let our loving Father's good gifts slip through our fingers, no matter what we may face. We should savor them. We should share them. We should invest them. We should be good stewards of all that God has given us and that He blesses us with so abundantly. But wait, Jesus isn't done. There's another twist. We thought Jesus was talking about a thief, but now He seems to be talking about Himself, the Son of Man. No one knows when He will return. Now, Christians have long talked about Christ as victorious over the powers of evil. So to think of Jesus coming to plunder what the devil stole, to harrow hell, to rescue souls from sin and death, well, that's kind of a fun little twist. Kind of like those movies that make you cheer for the bad guy, but instead Jesus is always the good guy. However much people may disparage our Savior, no matter what they may think of Him. Jesus may be a thief, all right, if stealing back what rightfully belongs to you is theft. So with all these twists and turns, Jesus is pulling a mental juke move with our brains and the crowd's brains like some star running back. He moves one way and then another, all in order to remind us to stay alert, ready, waiting. The Lord is helping that rowdy crowd to do physically what they ought to be practicing spiritually. So I think it's a really good teaching strategy from our Lord to get the attention of the crowds who are just jostling, shouting, and thrusting their hands out for the next thing that Jesus was offering. So then, exactly who or what should we be waiting for in the midst of all of these twists and turns that Jesus is throwing our way? Lord Baden-Powell, the founder of the Boy Scouts, instituted the scout motto, "Be prepared." And someone once asked him, "Be prepared for what?" And he replied, "Anything." The winding journey that Jesus mentally takes us on in this parable forces us to be ready for any eventuality in our spiritual lives. We need to be looking for God everywhere in the world around us, just like St. Ignatius of Loyola might advise. We need to be alert to the schemes of the evil one so that way we can avoid temptation and destruction. We need to be watching with expectation for our Savior's return, just as He promised, a return that will set all things straight and make an end to any residual wickedness and chaos since He first came 2,000 years ago. Be prepared. Keep your lamps lit. Have your work clothes on. Because you never know what kind of grace our Master is ready to serve to us. Now, I told you to keep a mental bookmark on the business as usual thing. When we consider this life's ups and downs, it's feeling like the more things change, the more they stay the same. We tend to think of this life as the usual, you know, the humdrum, the daily grind. But I think we got that all backward. Right now, we are in between the Lord's first creation and His new creation. In between Eden and the new Jerusalem. This world is not the way it's supposed to be. And I've heard enough of those sermons about, you know, virgins keeping their wicks trimmed and ready to light, because we need to be ready for Jesus to change our business as usual world. But I think we have that a little off. Not the waiting part, but how we should view things right now. The usual, from a divine perspective, is where sin and death and decays just simply aren't a thing. So instead of looking at our current in-between state, where Jesus has already ushered in His kingdom, but we have not yet experienced its fullness, instead of seeing this world as the usual, why not view the world to come that way? The one that restores and perfects God's once and future creation. The resurrection life is the usual. The city built by God and not human hands is the way it should be. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven finally and fully come to earth so that there's hardly a distinction between sacred and secular, material and spiritual. That is God's everyday world. Oh, for our Lord to grant us grace to change our perspective and see things His way. How much easier it would be for us to wait and keep alert, because we would have a sense of serenity in our waiting instead of anxiety. We wouldn't settle for this imperfect world now, just hoping things get better someday. Or worse, to resort to some blow up the world while I'm raptured and escape this world mentality that leads us to lack godly stewardship. Or just hanging in there until I finally get some disembodied existence in heaven. No. We would have a full-board, biblical, Christian hope that takes care of God's creation now, expects to be present with the Lord when we die, but ultimately looks forward with conviction for Christ to return to usher His resurrection power and fill the earth with His glory as the waters cover the sea. We'll be risen from death. We'll be in right relationship to God, to one another, to God's world, even to ourselves. We'll no longer be naked and ashamed. Creation will no longer bear thorns instead of fruit trees. We'll no longer live at enmity, blame, and disharmony with one another. We'll never feel like we need to hide from God again. Are you ready for whatever comes your way? Are you looking for Jesus in your everyday life? Are you on guard against the wiles of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Are you able to see things the way that God does? That this sin-soaked world is passing away in order to make way for the real world, where heaven and earth are made one. Then let hope swell your soul and encourage your heart, because soon and very soon we're going to see the King. In prayerful expectation of that, then, I invite you to turn to 757 in your celebration hymnal, the green one. Let us sing, "Soon and Very Soon."